told you we'd be back. It's the Heart and Hustle podcast. Nick Gronowitz, Scott Inez. Two games into the NBA preseason. Your Orlando Magic, our Orlando Magic, 2-0, and we're here to dissect some of the early takeaways from that. Talk a little Markelle Fultz. You will hear from Mo Bamba, the Orlando Magic backup center. Scott Inez's interview with him coming up. Backup center, second center, third center. I don't know. Mo Bamba's on the roster. We'll get into all that coming up. If you're listening for the first time, you can hear Scott Inez and myself weekdays, ESPN 580 Orlando. That's 580 AM for the old school, 96.5 FM, HD2, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio app, the whole thing. Just search for yeah. And of course, on this podcast, 2 to 3 times a week, depending on how much time we have. You can follow Scott on Twitter, at Inez Says, and me, at ESPN 580 Nick. Scotty, after I got out of town for a couple of days, I saw a little bit of the preseason games. I'm going to be honest here. A lot of this is going to be your takeaways. I watched the first half of, we're recording this on Tuesday, Monday night's game against the Detroit Pistons. And I got to say, two blowouts. You don't look at the final scores. I like the way Aaron Gordon looked last night against Detroit. Markelle Fultz has shown some things. Couple of early takeaways from you. How are you feeling?
First off, the NBA preseason. As you well know, I never put a whole lot of stock in the NBA preseason because it can be the ultimate tease. And several years ago, I started believing in some guys who were not even in the league that regular season. So I've learned from my mistakes over the years not to put a whole lot of stock in the preseason. With that said.
But.
With that said.
Sure.
Okay. Number one. I like the confidence, the I don't know what you call it, swag. What I like the swag that this team is playing with early in the preseason. And I think there is a confidence that comes along with the fact that this team made the playoffs for the first time together last year. And that's why I was so gung-ho about this team making the playoffs. Because when you make the playoffs for the first time, okay, especially for young guys, that gives you a little extra bump in your step for the following season. And I think that's what we're seeing right now with this Orlando Magic team. Now, what does that get us? Nothing right now. But what I notice, especially with those starters in the Magic starting lineup, I desperately wanted to see growth. I wanted to see swag. I wanted to see confidence, whatever you want to call it. So far through two games, I have seen that swag. So that's number one.
I think the word that I would use here is you're seeing more maturity in this team.
When you
talked with Jonathan Isaac, we put that interview up, and when you talked with Markelle Fultz, I think both those guys still learning how to be pros.
Yeah.
Jonathan Isaac talked about how, well, I'm just learning how to eat and be, you know, eating 5,000 calories a day or something
like
that.
Mo Bamba the same way,
too. I think Mo Bamba was the other one. I think you're right, which people are going to hear here coming up. But this is a team that they're in the preseason. They know, okay, here's what we need to get out of this.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon looks more developed. He's the veteran. He's 6 years in.
Right.
Jonathan Isaac looks like a freak out there. He got thicker. He's bigger.
Yep.
He's the guy of anybody I've seen through the first two games and really last night that jumps off the screen to you.
Yep.
So I think we're seeing a more mature, confident Orlando Magic basketball team than the one we've seen. It doesn't look like a bunch of babies on the floor.
Right.
And we've become accustomed to seeing that over the last 7 years
or so. And you can tell this is season number two for the head coach, Steve Clifford, who did a whale of a job in year one. I think another thing that jumps out at me, and I know we're going to get to Fultz, we're going to get to Bamba coming up, we'll get to Isaac, but the defense, and again, through the preseason prism. I get that. But
91 points last night against the Pistons. They allow 89 points against the Spurs.
Right. So, again, preseason, I get it. Okay? But this defense was one of the best in the NBA in the second half of the season last year. And the question going into this season was, will the defensive hunger it had last year under Steve Clifford, can they get that back for this year? Because as we often see, especially in contract years, and it was a contract year for Nikola Vucevic and for Terrence Ross, who, by the way, got hurt last night, and hopefully he's going to
chest
be
contusion,
okay.
Chest contusion, they say. He's
okay, going. Good.
He's day-to-day.
Okay,
he's going to be fine. So there's no sounding the alarm, it feels like, for Terrence Ross.
But you hope defensively, because that's where this team is going to hang its hat. Okay, because there really is no go-to guy yet on this roster. You're going to have to hang your hat on defense, and I hope the first two games of the preseason is a harbinger for this team, because you hold the Pistons to 91 last night. You create 20 turnovers in that game. Now, granted, it was the Pistons' very first preseason game, but you hold the Spurs to 89. this team, so far, good sign, it has not relaxed on the defensive end. And that was one of the questions we had going into this preseason.
Yeah, hungry. How hungry are these guys going to be, especially when it is a group of young players that finally taste some success and maybe they spend the offseason congratulating themselves.
Right.
They spend the offseason feeling like, okay, we've earned it. They're reading about every single outlet that you can read from, The Ringer, Yahoo Sports, CBS Sports, USA. They're all saying, well, the Orlando Magic team, can they be a top four team in the East? Not just make the playoffs, but can they be a team to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference? And it feels like, through two games, and I do like how you and I you and I both keep doing this because someone is going to tweet us and say, well, how about that awesome defense after they give up 150 to Phoenix something?
But, no doubt.
I think what you are seeing is a team that came in and is still hungry. You kept most of the players. And I got to say, it looks like Al Farouq Aminu is a nice fit on this team,
no doubt,
too.
No doubt. And we knew going in that he would be a good fit because here's a guy. They call him the chief for a reason, right?
He's going to fit in on the chief.
He's going to fit in immediately in that locker room. He can guard three, four positions on the court. He hasn't really gotten a whole lot of playing time yet through two preseason games.
20 minutes last night, 7 points,
But he's going to fit in. Look, if we're talking about a team that may be able to crack the top four in the Eastern Conference this year, Markelle Fultz is going to have an awful lot to do with
that. Okay, so let's transition to that. By the way, with Al Farouq Aminu, if the Magic Stadium guys that do the in-arena stuff, if you're not using stuff from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for the Chief this year, then I don't really know what we're doing here. All I'm saying, it's just a piece of advice. Yeah. Take it from me to you. It's free. Write it down.
Right.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. If you haven't seen it, Jack Nicholson, he's unbelievable. It's an absolute classic, but until the end. So let's get to Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
Speaking of head problems, maybe. Yeah. Two games.
Yeah.
Fultz was not, they weren't on TV the first game.
Right.
So everyone's got the Zapruder film, the cell phone cameras, whatever the stadium stuff was that you could watch through that. And then last night you get to watch him for the first time. The shot isn't there. He's never had a pretty shot.
But the thing is, he doesn't have the hitch in the shot. That's the thing, Nick. He's going out and playing loose. He's playing freely. And look, you go through as a fan, and I'm a fan. Look, first, I'm a media guy. I covered the Magic for 31 years, but I'm still a fan, right? I mean, this is my number one team. It's a passion of mine. But you go back 2 weeks, Nick. What were we talking about on the air? We were talking about, are we going to see Markelle Fultz? Not in training camp.
We were talking about this year. When are we going to see him? Will it be before or after January 1st, basically?
Right.
Because the Magic have been very quiet about whether or not he was going to appear, whether or not he was going to be in training camp. And a couple of days after we talked about that, they had that big media soiree where they invited everybody out. They did the Markelle Fultz unboxing party, might I say. And now, two games in, if my math is correct here, he's 3 of 18 from the floor. Has he made a three-point shot yet? I just want to know. He is not. He's 0 of 3.
He's shooting it.
He's shooting it. And also, I think he's showing that he can be a competent basketball player without the shot going down. Getting to the rim, we saw the highlight against the Pistons on Monday night. The steal in transition, two defenders split the pair, and then the big thunderous dunk. The guy has some of it. You can see it there. And if the shot's not going down, I do think he has enough tools in the toolbox to be able to help this Magic team.
Especially defensively, Nick. Especially defensively.
Yeah, you watched more of that. Tell me, what are your thoughts
this
on him
kid,
defensively?
There's been such a range of emotions with Markelle Fultz because, again, 2 weeks ago, we didn't even know if we'd see this kid the entire season. So to go from that to all of a sudden the Magic are allowing the media in to watch him shoot after a voluntary workout to the fact that he starts training camp, I mean, it's been 0 to 60 MPH and like, 2 or 3 seconds here. So what we're seeing right now with Markelle Fultz, I did not know I knew he was 6'4". Okay. And we saw him during training camp, was the first interview that we did on media day. I didn't know he was as thick as he is.
Yeah. He's
a thick 6'4". He's not a 20-year-old 6'4".
No, he's not a string bean. No, he's not Jonathan Isaac. No, he's got some baby fat on him.
Well, I don't know if it's baby fat or not, but he's thick.
I turned 30 last Friday. I still have
baby fat.
I still got some baby fat on
me. By the way, happy belated birthday,
Thank you.
Football. But you go from not knowing whether this kid is going to show up to all of a sudden he's played in two games. Are the numbers overly impressive?
No.
No, he's got a bunch of turnovers, but this is the first time he plays in nearly under a year. Keep that in mind. Remember last year, Nick?
8 turnovers
and
in two games.
I don't think this was at a point in time when we were doing the Heart and Hustle podcast, but there was a night when the Sixers came to town, and I went to Amway Center for the sole purpose of watching this kid. I wanted to see up close and personal what was going on with this kid, and he did not look right at all. From
that was
the
early
get-go.
In the season, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I think
it was. Very early in the year. I remember that game. I want to say it was the second game of the year.
I don't know. It was early, but we had heard so much about this kid and what he was going through mentally and physically. Like, it pained him to go out there and play basketball. Right now, when you watch him, he's having the time of his life.
He is.
It's like
fun.
A weight has been lifted off of his shoulders.
Well, when
shoulders.
You talked to him, that was the feeling that we got. So you and I were at Media Day. You spoke with Markelle Fultz. And the way these Media Day things work is you talk with a guy, and then you've got like another 3 to 5 minutes where you kind of just stand around with nothing to do.
Uh-huh.
And I remember our conversation was dominated by, the guy just feels right. I don't know if he is right. I don't know how he
right.
physically is.
Right.
But he just feels like he's in a good space.
Yeah.
And that mental side of it there, that's a very good place for him to be. And if he can play free, you know, we saw the dunk. We saw him get into the rim, the reverse layup against
right.
the Pistons.
Right.
He can make those plays. And what the Magic have lacked, they lack shooting. When he's out on the floor, they're not going to have shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But they have lacked a slasher, a guy that can
yep.
get to the rim
create. Yep.
And I think he can be a creator for this team.
He's a ball handler, too. I mean, he's got a handle that I did not know about. I mean,
Philly
that ball's
fan is
on a
listening
string.
To this right now. Like, get ready.
We're preparing ourselves because, look, he may have a setback
now,
or
I'm
two
in love.
Along the way.
I'm in love. I'm
in love right now,
I'm
too.
I'm not preparing
but,
myself at all.
Okay.
If he busts, I'm going to be heartbroken, but it's okay.
Here's another thing I didn't know about Markelle Fultz. He's a good teammate. He will play make for others. He's the type of kid who loves to be able to create for others. That's a rare thing in our league today. So he's big enough, he's quick enough to get into the lane, to either finish, get to the line, create for a teammate, and the steal that he had last night against the Pistons at about foul line extended on the defensive side, puts it around his back.
What do you call that, the quarter court or the three-quarter court?
I think it would be three-quarter court.
Three-quarter court, okay.
So puts it around his back, drives mm-hmm. under control the entire way, and goes up for a slam that there aren't a whole lot of guys who can do that.
No, that was a whoa moment. That was the play I was talking about earlier. When he makes that steal, a defensive play, B, the ball handling ability, and then finishing. There's three steps in that. A lot of guys can make step one, fewer can make step two, and even fewer can put all three together to stay under control. Heck, a lot of guys try that behind the back dribble, and they dribble it off their foot, the defender's foot, and can't finish.
Yep.
It was impressive, albeit in preseason.
Yeah, again, preseason basketball, we have to quantify it and qualify it. I get that, okay? But this kid, you know, the big question about him was the mental side, because he seems to have solved the physical side with that shoulder injury. But the mental side, he seems to be just enjoying playing loose, playing free. And we'll see where it goes from here. But if this kid gets right, physically and mentally. This Magic team could be pretty special this year.
It could be, and he could be the coming attraction for Orlando. I know they have not hurt with ticket sales. You talked to Alex Martins about that at Media Day, about how they were second in the league in single-game ticket sales, and a lot of that having to do with the tourist base here. But he could be the real coming attraction for this team. That, as you said, you went to the game to watch him. More people will want to see what Markelle Fultz looks like.
Yeah.
And think about this defensive lineup that you can put up there just for a minute. And I know there's not a lot of shooting in this, but if you need a stop, you put Markelle Fultz at point guard,
mm-hmm.
Wes Iwundu at the two mm-hmm. with his length. You end up with Jonathan Isaac, Aaron Gordon, and Mo Bamba.
Yeah.
That is just, it is a group of aircraft carriers.
Yeah, tarantulas.
Yes.
Yes.
I Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, I mean, they have built this thing with just long wingspan. It's become a joke, and by the way, a joke that did originate here on this podcast and
right.
our radio show, and that's fine. Magic Twitter, enjoy it. I'm glad everyone's into it, but I'm taking full ownership of it. It belongs to us, and it seems to be paying off. They need a little more shooting. I'm concerned about the shooting on this team. I know you want to get to Mo Bamba, one more thing, and that would be the play of Aaron Gordon against the Detroit Pistons. I know preseason, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. If Aaron Gordon this year for Orlando can just be a 16 to 18 point, 8 rebound, 5 assist guy, if he could be the stat stuffer.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the difference. Zach Lowe talked about this on ESPN on his podcast, and I completely agree with him. If Aaron Gordon can realize that he's not going to be LeBron James, but instead can be the everything guy for Orlando, you're not going to be 28 points a night. I think that this team will have that missing link because that's what Aaron Gordon needs to be.
I'm not a big fan of the stat stuffer in terms of Aaron Gordon, but I think you're right. If he can give you a little bit of everything, kind of like he did last year, and I think he took a step. You know, Steve Clifford.
He took a step last year.
Steve Clifford uses the term playing with purpose quite a bit, right? Playing with purpose. And I think for the first time in his career last year on a consistent basis, Aaron Gordon played with a lot of purpose. And I remember you and I talking early on in the season.
The Celtics game.
Celtic game.
Yeah.
Prime example, in Boston. Okay, I think it was the early in the first quarter, and Aaron did some Aaron Gordon-like things early in the game where he's going a little crazy, right?
You mean he did the yo-yo dribble on the left wing,
right,
the head fake, and then fired a brick three?
He did some crazy things.
Yeah.
Steve Clifford calls timeout, walks out onto the court, meets Aaron Gordon, and starts chewing him out face-to-face. That's exactly what Aaron Gordon needs. We all need coaching at times, and Aaron, I think, needed that type of coaching at that time. And from that spot on, Aaron was very, very good and very heady. That's the thing about Aaron Gordon. You know he's a great defensive player already, but if he can get even more heady on the offensive end this year, this team could be pretty darn good.
Yeah, by the way, last year, a career-high 3.7 assists per game. Can you get that into the fours?
Yeah.
Averaged about 7.5 rebounds, 16 points, 16 to 18 points. If he can get into the four and a half assists, I think it's going to be huge for this team because someone other than DJ Augustine needs to be the distributor. I don't think it's going to be Evan Fournier. They need one more passer and one more shooter, and we know what they have to work with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that scene in Apollo 13 where they throw everything onto the table and they say you need to make this fit into this using nothing but that.
Right.
Aaron Gordon needs to be one of that.
You're
Let's get to Mo Bamba, who against the Spurs had a very nice preseason game.
Yeah, Pistons too.
Yeah, 18 points against the Spurs to go along with, what was it, 7 rebounds, I think. And last night against the Pistons on Monday night as we're recording this on Tuesday. Mo Bamba's looked like a different guy. Had 13 points and 8 rebounds. The motor seems to feel like the difference after not playing much last year due to the injury. He seems to be, and you're going to hear the interview you did with him coming up, he seems to just be a little bit more lively for this Magic team.
The two M's, motor and maturity. You mentioned the word maturity earlier. I banged on Mo last year for not showing us that motor, that want to, if you will, for having a low motor, for having a bad rookie season. There's no other way to put it. It was a disappointing rookie season, unfortunately for him. It ended with the stress fracture late in the season. But what I see out of Mo this early preseason, a guy who has matured some. And I think you'll hear that maturity coming up in the interview. A kid who is understanding now the value of hard work, realizing that in order to stay in this league, not just to succeed, but to stay in this league, that there is a certain motor you have to have. There is a work ethic that you have to have. You have to put in the time, and I think Mo has put in his time this summer. I think he's realizing now how to be a professional. Obviously, he's worked on his outside shot. We saw that in Detroit. We saw that in San Antonio as well. He's being much more forceful down low, still not the most physical guy in the world, still has to build up his body, even though he has done some of that. But if he continues with this type of attitude, Nick, and he continues with this work ethic, he makes this team that much better. Because it was, to me, it was not a coincidence. When he went down last year, that's kind of when the Magic went up. That's when Kem Birch came off the bench. And you talk about a motor, man.
Because he got
Kem
injured.
Birch has a high motor.
Mo Bamba got injured, what, around December, right? Last year?
It was a little bit later than that, wasn't it?
I'll double check on that. But you are right. I mean, as he got injured, they hit that stretch. It was right before the All-Star break, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They kind of hit that stretch of
January 31st, boom.
Yeah, you are right. They completely turned the corner. And part of that was They didn't need someone to pound the ball in the post. They have Nick Vucevic for that. They needed someone to get those loose balls, get to some of those 50-50 right. balls, make some of those extra motor plays.
Yep.
And I'll say, I mean, there is no bigger Kem Birch fan than me.
Yep.
I'm a Kem Birch guy.
But Kem Birch was not the sixth overall pick of your particular general
right.
manager and president of basketball operations.
Right. Kem Birch was the second best center on the Magic last year, even when Mo Bamba was healthy. But Mo Bamba has a chance to be the best center on the Orlando Magic if he can put it all together. And that's early on here. It looks like Mo Bamba starting to get it.
Yeah.
And we all know Steve Clifford, they drafted Mo, and we said it when they drafted him. Steve Clifford is the big man whisperer. He did it with Dwight Howard here working with Stan Van Gundy. Even had Dwight there in Charlotte for a little while before he was like, I'm done with this. He is the big man whisperer, and I think Mo Bamba can learn a lot.
Well, this year,
and look at Nick Vucevic in the first year with Steve Clifford.
Absolutely. This year, Mo has more energy. He's tougher. He's wiser. He's more mature. Let's just keep that up and see where this thing goes from Obama this year.
I would like to lodge one complaint to Steve Clifford because I'm looking at that Pistons game. Vic Law, Kem Birch, BJ Johnson. You got to get only 6 minutes for Josh Majette. My Lakeland guys need some more time here, okay? We got a season starting in about a month here, Steve. All right, I want a title. I want a chip, all right?
We need more shine for those Lakeland boys up here.
I need more Josh Majette. I need more Emile Jefferson. He only played 10 minutes. Get my boys out there on NBA courts. They can dominate on the G League one. So that's all, Steve. Other than that, A-plus effort. But other than that, I need more of my Lakeland guys. So here's what we're going to do here on the podcast. You're going to hear from us about 2 to 3 times a week during the preseason and hopefully into the regular season. A lot of it depends on our schedule. We've told you that. But coming up after the break here, Scott caught up with Mo Bamba, the Magic's second-year center. And as we said, Mo seemed like he was in a much better place than he was last year. That conversation with Mo Bamba coming up after this.
We got Mo Bamba here on Media Day here at Amway Center. And Mo just actually told me that I look like Coach Calipari at the University of Kentucky, and my response was,
yeah, I do. That's my
twin. I wish I had his money. I don't care about looking like Coach Cal. I wish I had his money.
Me too, man. Me too.
Good to see you, Mo. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, you're doing
you?
All right?
Yeah.
How was your offseason?
It was good. It was good. I went into the offseason with the mindset of, all right, I got to put in these deposits to get better. From a bunch of different fronts as far as just like injury recovery.
Yeah.
Weight gaining and strength conditioning and on the court.
Yeah. It was kind of a typical rookie season. I hate to say that, but it really, you know, when the rookies come in on that first day, you know what they're in for.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a difficult life. Yeah, you guys are getting paid. I get all that. But it's totally different than what you're accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And then you have the stress fracture near the end of the season. How is the injury? You all recuperated?
I'm good.
From
I'm
that?
All recuperated. I've been at 100% for about a month and a half, 2 months maybe, most of the summer.
Yeah.
And I feel good.
What did you take out of year one in the NBA in terms of being an NBA professional, Mo?
A lot. I took that. There's a level of preparation and routine that, most guys who first years in the NBA have never experienced before. It's just the importance of just routine is monumental for development and just for how you play. You get guys who do the same thing before every single game, and there's a reason why they play the same. And just trying to tie that into my game as much as possible.
And that's what it's all about in your rookie year, too, is learning how to be a professional. I mean,
exactly.
nobody's gonna teach you this.
Yeah.
You just have to experience it and go through it yourself. And you've now gone through it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm super excited for next season.
Yeah.
For this season.
Yeah. So tell me about this year. I mean, I'm looking around the room. This team has some talent.
Mm-hmm.
This team has some depth.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking forward to this?
Absolutely. We returned a lot of guys, so our chemistry will be there. We all played with each other, and we all know where we want the ball and what we do best. And then you add two big pieces like Chief and Markel. And,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to be able to get things rolling.
And for you personally, the comfort has to be there knowing, okay, you got 1 year under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
Now. I mean, talking to you last year on Media Day, didn't know what to expect tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now you know what to expect
exactly.
from Camp Clifford,
exactly.
if you will, tomorrow,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
That's got to be comforting to you.
It is. It is. At the same time, I don't like being comfortable, like being paranoid,
being on edge.
Exactly, being on edge because you get the You get your best bang for a buck when you're
right. No question about it. What do you expect your role to be on this team this year, Mo?
I want to be the energy guy. I want to come in and give that spark, whether if it's off the bench, whether if it's starting or whatever. I just want to be, you know, that guy that can contribute right away.
Yeah. Well, Nick Vucevic made the All-Star team last year for a reason. I know you two are very, very tight. What did you learn from Vuce, being the veteran that he is?
Yeah.
What did you learn last year and playing behind him pretty much the entire season?
A lot. That whole piece I said about you know, having a routine is basically me just describing him. You know, he has his routine. He comes in, he stretches, you know, before the game. He eats. He does this and that and that, and just it's his own routine.
Yeah.
I'm sure mine's will be
sure.
You know, a little different, but just that's probably one of the biggest things that I learned from him.
Markelle Fultz is here now. It's great to see him. I talked to him earlier. He seems very, very confident in what he's about to do here in training camp. I know you've been playing with him and in voluntary workouts. What do you see from Markelle so far, Mo?
I think what people underestimate most from him is, one, his defensive abilities. You know, he's able to, you know, both play passing lanes and good all-the-ball defense. You know, that leads to easy offense. And another thing that I don't think is talked about a lot with him is just, like, his level of just unselfishness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really, like, I can see it in his face. He enjoys, like, making plays for other people. And when you got somebody like that, it just makes the game much easier.
Yeah, you said the word unselfishness. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a lot of that on this team.
Yeah.
Which is very good, and that's exactly what Jeff Weltman wanted to do in putting together this team. A lot of unselfish guys on this basketball team, which certainly has to help everybody out,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me about this team in general. What do you think the ceiling is for this team, knowing that you won 22 of the final 31 last year, you make the playoffs for the first time. I know that was a new experience for you as well. What do you think the ceiling is for this Magic team this year, Mo?
I honestly think the sky's the limit for us.
Yeah.
As long as we play in the right manner and, you know, we're doing what we do best, the sky's the limit.
Yeah. Orange uniforms. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Yay.
I got some.
Big
got
fan.
Some, yeah. It symbolizes Florida.
Okay. You know? All right. So what kind of shoes do you wear with the orange uniforms? Have you figured that one out yet?
Don't worry.
You got your plan.
You'll see.
I love it. Mo, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good luck this year.
Thank you very much.
All right.
That was Scott Inez with Mo Bamba, the Orlando Magic center. Play more coming here on the Heart and Hustle podcast. Want to say appreciate you tuning in, joining us. Go ahead, hit that subscribe, rate, review button. Big thanks to our friends at Vox Media and, of course, SB Nation as we continue to roll our way through here on the Heart and Hustle podcast. For Scott Inez, of course, you can hear him and myself, Nick Grunowitz, on ESPN 5 in Orlando, 4 to 8 weekdays. Talking NBA, NFL, and a whole lot more. You can follow Scotty at Inez Says and me at ESPN 580. Nick, you'll hear from us a little later this week as we recap more of the preseason and get ready for the regular season. But until then, go Magic.